The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. Notice what God has to say or inspired the Apostle Paul to write in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. We've been speaking about being made in God's likeness, and that's really what salvation is when you understand it. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Yes, to become like Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the church, is to help you to become like Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose of your life, my friends. Yes, to become like Christ is spoken of in many places in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. In Romans 13, verse 9, it says this, For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witnesses, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's showing you the path to walk. That was the path that Jesus Christ walked. Now did Christ disobey God the Father? Did he live the way of Get, being unconcerned for others? Of course not. He didn't go around stealing and killing, raping, committing adultery, or breaking the holy Sabbath. He didn't cheat and try to get the best of others. He honored his mother and God his Father. He didn't worship idols or make idols. He didn't keep pagan customs and pagan holidays. He kept God's holy days. He never tried to take advantage of anyone. He didn't hate or hold or harbor grudges against anyone. He didn't try to avenge himself of his enemies. So if you want to become like Jesus Christ, you need to know him, what kind of life he lived, the way he thought, his attitude, and his character. That is why you were born. That's why God created man in his image and gave you a mind so you could choose to become like God by building the character of God. You were born for the purpose of building the mind, attitude, and character of God Almighty. You were born for the purpose of being born again, born into the family of God, becoming a spirit-born son of God and a spirit-born brother of Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is when you understand it. Yes, my friend, you have to do much more to be saved or to receive eternal life or salvation than to walk down the aisle to the mourner's bench in front of the minister and congregation and say, I accept Jesus Christ or I give my heart to the Lord. You have to get rid of self. Notice what Paul had to say in Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Paul was speaking to Christians, people that had repented, been baptized, and had received God's Holy Spirit. Paul said there is much more that you have to do. You must begin the process of putting on Jesus Christ. You have to begin and continue the process of getting rid of self and continue the process of putting on Jesus Christ by letting his mind be in you. So it is a process of growing in his grace and knowledge. You don't stand still after you have repented, been baptized, and have received God's Holy Spirit. That is only the beginning of becoming like God and Jesus Christ. Just to say, I accept Jesus Christ, or I give my heart to the Lord, or to say, I have been saved, doesn't give you salvation or make you in the likeness of God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Notice what Christ had to say himself in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 12. Verse 12 of Matthew 24, Christ says, And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The pressure is on to float downstream. Now notice verse 13, But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And Christ is speaking to people that would endure the hardships are being formed and molded and shaped like He Himself, building the mind and the attitude and the character of God Himself. You don't cave and give in to Satan's way, but continue to put on Jesus Christ to the end of your life. And if you do that, you will be saved. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 continues, says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of which they lie in wait to deceive. Paul is telling us to become stable in the truth and stick to it. Don't just grab on to any doctrine that you hear, but know true doctrine and continue to grow up in Christ. Continue to become like Him. Continue to believe the things that He taught. You know, there's a message out there, my friends, that talk about Christ, but they don't talk much about the message that He taught. And that's what you have to know and embrace and live by. Verse 15, continuing to tell us what we must do if we want to be saved. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Yes, grow up into Christ, again telling us to put on His likeness. And you have a big part to play in that process. Surely, we don't think that we are just like Christ the moment we profess to be a Christian. I hope you understand there is a lot of changing that you must do. You must begin taking off your nature, which you have been putting on all those years, which is patterned after Satan's nature, the way of get, me first attitude, which only that nature only comes off one step at a time or one piece at a time and replaced with God's nature, the nature of give and love and concern for God and human beings. Yes, to undress of Satan and to dress up like God is a process that takes place after you began the process of surrendering to God, and it is to continue the rest of your life. That is, if you want to be saved. If you want salvation, that is something that you must do. Isn't that what Christ said? He that endures to the end shall be saved. My friends, I'm telling you what salvation is according to God's Word. It is to build the mind, the attitude, and the character of God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. How many that profess Christianity today really understand what salvation is? How many understand how to be saved? Very few, I can assure you. How thick that deception is. Isn't any wonder that God talks about removing that veil after He returns to this earth to set up the kingdom of God on the earth? Notice in Isaiah 25, beginning in verse 6, speaking of the time that Christ has returned and has established the kingdom of God on the earth, the time that He has taken Satan and bound him for 1,000 years, the time that Satan isn't out there spreading his deception and putting a veil over the eyes of humanity. Isaiah 25, verse 6, and in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. In other words, talking about a good life, where you live and you practice God's way, and you have peace and prosperity and well-being, obedient kids and good marriages and so on. Verse 7, and He will destroy on this mountain, or on the earth, the entire earth, the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Yes, my friends, this world is blinded, and Satan has been the one that has done that. He has blinded this world. He doesn't want you to understand the plan of God, the plan of salvation. He doesn't want you to have a better life than He has or that He's going to have. He wants you to think that you are doomed to burn in hell fire forever and ever when you die. He doesn't want you to know the plan of salvation and to know and realize that you are going to be given a chance to know that. And you may be given the chance now as you hear my voice. Christ said there are many called but few chosen. If He calls you, you will know it. Will you answer? In Isaiah 29, beginning verse 18, God continues to talk about the way it's going to be once this veil has been lifted from the eyes of people. Says, in that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Yes, God is telling us that there's a day coming when Satan is bound and Christ has set up and established the kingdom of God on the earth, that true doctrine is going to be taught and going to be known, and people are going to understand it. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Notice that, my friend, the humble. Everyone will be humble in that day. Well, there may be one here and there, but it's going to be very few that won't surrender to God. And God is talking about humility. He's talking about the haughtiness of man being taken away in that day and being ready to listen to truth, to God's word. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel, because they're going to understand God's way, and their life is going to be much better. And your life could be much better today, my friend, if you would get in gear with God's way. Christ said, many are called, but few are chosen. In Matthew 22, Christ likened the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, which will be established on the earth, to people invited to a wedding, where a certain dress code is required to attend, meaning there are preparations on your part to be ready. You have to dress properly, which is telling you and me that if you want to be ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb, the King of the earth, when he returns, you have to be in the process of dressing up in the mind, attitude, and character of Jesus Christ. And you may want to ask yourself, am I doing that? Christ hasn't done it all for you. He only did what you and I can't do. You can't pay for your sins. You can't take the death penalty from you or anyone else. You can't give the gift of salvation, eternal life, to yourself or anyone else. You can't change yourself or anyone else from flesh to a spirit being. You can't resurrect self or anyone else. You can't give yourself the Holy Spirit that helps you to build the mind, the attitude, and the character of God the Father and Jesus Christ. You cannot build the mind of Jesus Christ without God the Father and Jesus Christ living in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God can't and won't change you or even give you His Holy Spirit unless you are willing to obey Him. You need to think about that, my friend. If you want salvation, if you want to be saved, you need to think about what God says about salvation. And you need to gear your mind to be willing to obey what you understand. And if you do, then you will continue to understand more and more about the plan of salvation, and you will begin to understand more and more what you must do to attain salvation. Yes, there is something that you must do. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, notice what it says. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, we've just been describing part of Christ's mind, how he lived his life. But sad to say, most people don't know much about Christ. My friends, if you want to know more about the plan of salvation and your part in it and what you must do, how to attain salvation, we have a couple of booklets that you should read. Why Were You Born and What Do You Mean Salvation? Now, that's two booklets. Why Were You Born and What Do You Mean Salvation? You should want to know the purpose of your life and how to fulfill that purpose. You should want to know the plan of salvation. And you can. Just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today, and may God help you understand how to live your life.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day. Located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill. Meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764.